Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that we're able to be together again. And should you just be joining us, I shared with my radio family that we will be doing some extensive teaching on the words of Jesus, just one verse of Scripture found in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 48. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." So, did Jesus really mean what he said? Is this for us today? Obviously, he was not talking about spiritual perfection, because we know as fallen creatures, that is not possible. Only one is perfect, and that is God. So what was he saying? What does perfection mean? And in order to answer that, we're going to go through examples in the Old Testament, scriptures in the New, examples of perfection listed in some of the patriarchs of old, the heroes of old under the Old Covenant, and then, of course, perfection as exemplified in the life of Jesus. We're going to be looking at the essential elements of perfection, again, all found in the Word of God, and there are seven of them that would apply in a personal way to us. In other words, the things that we could personally desire and seek to achieve in our lives. And then there's a final eighth element of perfection, which I'll be sharing with you. So the real question is, how can we obey this command of Jesus? Because that's what he said in simple words, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that, for those of you who are up on your grammar, you know that verb be is a command. It involves our active participation of will. It includes an action. You be, therefore, perfect. And so we are going to be taking some time to look at what this means. And as I said yesterday, what is your reaction, if you're a new listener, to that statement? Does it seem something overwhelming and an impossibility? Well, did Jesus really mean what he said? Is it for us? Well, we're going to be looking in depth at what he actually said. There's two statements Jesus made. Is that not correct in terms of the grammar of that sentence? He says, first of all, be therefore perfect. Secondly, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, if you know God and understand and have read the Bible, you know there's no debate on number two. Obviously, the Father in heaven is perfect. And just to substantiate some scripture in defense of that statement, Deuteronomy 32 and 4, because you know that's what Jesus did all the time. He said, "It is written." Deuteronomy 32 and 4 says, "He," this is referencing God, "is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he." Psalm 18 and 30 said, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." In Job 36 and 4, God is described as perfect in knowledge. Ecclesiastes 3:14 declares, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it," or added to it, if you will, "nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it," why? "That men should fear before him." That second part of that statement is a command. Be therefore perfect. So who is Jesus talking to? Well, it was from in this portion in terms of context, the Sermon on the Mount. So he's not talking to the sinner as much as to those who have ears to hear, those who are believing on him, those who are being convicted by the truth of his words, who are being drawn by the Lord, by the Father, because no man comes to God unless the Father draw him. And those, that body of people, are those who are seeking after God and his righteousness. There are some of you who may be listening to this broadcast and you're really confused. You don't really understand a whole lot. You're being drawn. And I can relate to that. That's how I was back in the summer of, in June, specifically of 1973. I was convinced there was not truth in Christianity, and I've searched in many other disciplines. In fact, I had a good friend who, when I told her I'd gotten saved, she thought that was just another wild tangent I was off on, because I was always into doing sort of unusual things. And no, it wasn't. It was the reality of a life's goal. I was seeking after truth. And I found that that truth is found not in a philosophy, not in a doctrine, but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is the Spirit of truth. Today, the world is being deceived and kept in bondage by the spirit of error, the spirit of deception. But Jesus has come and is coming to some of you right now. Maybe you don't understand and you're a little hesitant. You know, I was trying to figure it all out. I said, well, you know, yeah, it sounds good, but, you know, I'm just going to take this slow. Well, you know, beloved, you really can't do that. You can't intellectualize or reason out logically the Christian faith, although God certainly does reason with us. He does use human logic, and there's wonderful Christian apologists who use those very tools to convince of the reality of the Lord. But ultimately, there is a step that requires faith. It is by faith we are saved. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. And so if you're in that gray zone, if you're not certain, just I advise you to keep pursuing. Allow God to lead you, and he will bring you into an understanding and a revelation that you have desired, just as he did to me. I was a little nervous about it, but I said, okay, God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. Oh, that was a challenge he loved, and he proceeded to do that. So, all right. So Jesus is talking to us. He's talking to where we're at right now. Yes, he was speaking to a crowd gathered around him as he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. But those words, immortal words of the Lord, are speaking to us today. So what does that mean? Well, another point that should be brought out is that perfection is something that we are to strive for in the here and now. Think about that. If Jesus said, be therefore perfect, it was a command. You must do this, do this. Well, obviously, when we are dead and with the Lord, physically dead, we won't have to strive for perfection. Isn't that true? In heaven, we are the spirits of just men made perfect. Hallelujah. And not until that's the final end of our salvation is the redemption of our body. And we wrestle now against, you know, not flesh and blood, there's demonic interference, but basically we have a challenge once we become born again, our spirit man becomes alive in Christ, becomes a new creature, that we have a process to go through called sanctification, where we're to mortify the deeds of the body by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we can be a new creature, but you know, our flesh still wants to do the same things. We, you know, we're rebellious by nature. We are self-indulgent by nature. We want what we want when we want it, like grown-up two-year-olds, because that's the human nature. But we won't strive for perfection in heaven. All the commandments that Jesus has given us in his word are for now. And of course, the words that he speak are spirit and truth and life. His his words, heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will not pass away because he spoke words of truth. And the word tells us that we are to strive for perfection by the grace of God here on this earth in this fleshly mortal body. If you are alive and are listening to me, that's God's commission to you. That's what he wants you to pursue as a Christian. Let me give you some passages to back this up. 2 Corinthians 13 and 9, Paul is speaking, "For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection." Ephesians 4 and 13, verses 11 through 13, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for," this is the reason, "for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And there's a time frame. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man." Who's that perfect man? He goes on to say, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And beloved, let me just take a little sidetrack, if I might. You know, years ago, and I appreciate all God called, God ordained ministry, but I want you to understand that these fivefold ministry gifts are all the purpose and reality of them, the God-ordained purpose, is to direct you to Jesus. I remember years ago, I was listening to a well-known prophet, and I was listening to these tapes, and one of my pet peeves is these buzzwords. You know, there's a shift in this and a window opening. And I got to the end of the tape, and I thought, what happens if I don't get the next installment? And I began to realize, even as a relatively young Christian, that the purpose of fivefold ministry is to develop your relationship with God. Yes, they will teach, they will edify, they will instruct, they will exhort, they'll give word, prophetic words. And I'm speaking now of the gift of prophecy. There is the office of the prophet. However, everything that I do, everything your pastor does, should be to build your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The word says you don't have any, you need not that any man teach you. Was he doing away with teachers? See, unless you have the mind of the Spirit, the word of God makes no sense. No, he was saying that the Holy Spirit is your primary teacher, but we need to be open to counsel, open to instruction, and that's God's plan for us. So, we will continue on, and anytime you miss a broadcast, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org. Click on the broadcast. You can listen anytime. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.